I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine.
And Caroline. This feels kind of crazy. We haven't sat down and recorded together in about 2 months.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Wow. That was actually a really fast 2 months, I guess, because we were away.
It felt like a super jam-packed and action-packed 2 months, but it's true. We haven't sat down in our typical podcast setup and recorded an episode together for you guys in a couple of months.
In the studio.
In the stew, aka
my room.
In Catherine's bedroom at home.
Which, side note,
Save money, live better.
But like,
I don't need to rent a stew every time. We got our own setup.
But it ruins the vibe of my room.
Sometimes it feels like, is this a bedroom or a podcast studio, or the flipping back and forth?
Especially when we're filming and we have to like set up chairs, because I'm like, I mean, honestly, go off, like, my room's solidly big, but not big enough to have like two different rooms. And you know what I mean? You know, some rooms, like, they can have a whole separate thing just constantly set up.
This can't. Sometimes we think about decking out like a part of our basement or closet or something and making it into a podcast studio, and then anytime we think about it, we're like, the money and time we'll spend on that when we, like, low-key, we got a chill setup the way that we do it, and we're always on the move anyways, that I kind of like that we just bring our equipment with us, whether we're at home in New Hampshire or we're in Boston, or even when we're traveling and we bring equipment with us, rather than feeling kind of guilty if we build out a studio and then are away from it because we go back to school or we go back to Boston or travel or something like that.
It is a good setup, but I do have like such an issue with switching between, because something will ruin my the energy of a space, and I'm like, I'm done. It's ruined forever.
Over.
And so, it, like, I just don't, my room is not relaxing. My room is not a room.
Yeah, but it's been a couple months. I got back from my month-ish, a little over a month that we were apart. I was doing some classes in Greece and studying there. Anne and Catherine was home in New Hampshire. And before that, we were traveling together, but we had recorded a couple episodes and guest episodes beforehand. So it really has been a couple months since we've sat down together. And if you guys haven't listened already, the past month, Anne Catherine and I each put out 2 solo episodes that we recorded ourselves, which is really interesting. That's something we hadn't done before, and it was really fun to listen to each other's. You guys got to hear from us separately on some different topics, get to hear about our lives. So you guys can also go back and listen to our past month of episodes where Anne Catherine and I each did a solo on our own. Actually, we each did 2 solos, which is really cool and interesting because in the 2+ year history of Girls with Goals, all of our episodes have been together. And so this was the first month that we kind of experimented doing solo episodes. And there are some fun ones to listen to that we did separately. So if you haven't been keeping up and up to date the past month, definitely go back and listen to those episodes and you can hear from us separately, which is really cool. And also make sure you're following us each separately on Instagram at Caroline Kinnean, at Anne Catherine Kinnean, and our podcast account, Girls with Goals Pod. On the podcast account, we're always posting question boxes to get some topic ideas that you guys want to hear and to get some questions of yours that we can answer in the double take segment. And then on our personal pages, you just get some more insight into our lives, some more health and wellness and healthy habit content. And you can definitely see more of our distinct personalities over there, like I'm sure you did on those solo episodes. Today, we're going to talk about how to stop living passively, which is a really interesting topic because I think so many of us in our 20s, a little below, a little above, wherever you are in life, we're still kind of learning how to live in a way. Like, there really is no blueprint for how to human and how to live. And I think there is a big difference between living your life actively and living it passively. And sometimes we can go months or years or even our whole lives up to this point and be kind of living passively, whether that means living for other people, whether that means living for, you know, convenience or ease rather than what it is that we want, or whether it is just having a hard time staying present. Sometimes living passively is kind of our default or where we've been or what we've been taught or just kind of the habit that we've built. So we want to talk about what it could mean to live passively, why you might be doing that, and then how to switch that off and how to live more actively in your life. Before we get into that though, you guys know we do highs, lows, and goals at the beginning of every week. And now we're back, so we get to do that together. What's your high of the week?
I've surfed like 2 or 3 times this week, which is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that's a high. One, because one of the times our friend was visiting and she had never surfed before.
Yeah.
And it was like a crazy day. It was, the waves in the summer here are pretty flat. They get big in the winter, like when there's a storm. So there was a storm coming in. And she was out and we had said we were going to surf and I really, really wanted to surf. And she was like, you know what? I'm still down. We stayed in the, like in the foam. Like we did not go out past the break with her. I think she was just getting bodied by waves.
Even me though. It was like, awesome. I've felt like a very amateur surfer these days. It's one of those hobbies where even as much as I've done it in my life and how many places I've surfed and stuff, like I don't necessarily get better. like
maybe because you're not going, like,
like, it'll I have, but I've never been between. Consistent. Yeah, I've never been consistent enough to, like, super get better. But then I always see when people post reels or TikToks and stuff, and they're like, you know, I don't have to be good at every single thing. I just like to be mediocre at a lot of things and have fun with it. Then I'm like, yeah, that's right. Me with surfing. I'm mediocre.
You should snowboard this
mediocre
winter.
And having fun. No, I ski.
But you should snowboard just for fun.
I broke my arm snowboarding when I was a kid, so that's kind of scary for me.
But I thought it was really fun. I like my friends that are surf coaches. I'll watch them. And I used to lifeguard and just watch them coach. And I was like, you know what? I think I can do this. I'm a coach Meg right now. And so it was obviously like too big to go out and like put her in like the 6-foot waves that were happening when mm-hmm. typically they're like 2 around us, which is very small around us in the East Coast. But alas, I was pushing her into her waves and it was so fun. And like, I was just holding her board. Then I'd be like, okay, get on. Because she wasn't like paddling or anything, and I just push her and she was getting up.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was awesome. So that was really, really fun because that was just, I don't know, I spent a lot of time in the water the past few days, so I'd mm-hmm. say that was my high. Today we went out with our friend and it was pretty good. Yeah no complaints.
My high, this has been a very interesting week and a half. Because as much as I feel like it's gone fast, like, oh my God, I've already been home for a week and a half. I also feel like it's been so slow and like, it's just felt really strange for me. Like, I feel like I've been home for so long. Like, I feel like I've done so much. We've had 2 friends visit and stay with us during that time. I feel like I've done so many things. I'm like, has it really only been a week and a half, but I guess my high, it's only been a week and a half.
Really?
Yes. It's really crazy. Huh. I know.
Wait, that's funny because one of my friends left 2 weeks ago and the other day we're like, oh my God, it feels like he left 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So it's weird that like time that feels like it's been 2 days when it's only been 2 weeks, but you being home has felt like a month when it's only been less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. Huh. It's like been a very strange feeling. I feel like it feels like I've been home for almost a month now. I think my high is just that I'm feeling quite motivated. Like I didn't necessarily have a dull, draggy transitional period. Like I've definitely been kind of tired. I've definitely taken some naps. But in terms of my mental state, I feel like being in Greece and traveling for so long, it was very refreshing for me. And then at the end, I was kind of craving being home. So I was really excited when I did get home. And I feel like I kind of just hit the ground running and was pretty motivated to, you know, get back into summer here and get back into a routine. I've had some really nice runs outside. I've been excited to be back in my kitchen cooking some food. We've had some really nice beach days, gone on the boat as a family a couple times. Like I feel like I just hit the ground running back in a summer routine. We even actually a pretty big high is that we grilled pizzas on the grill the other night and Catherine grilled them. We made pizzas and used the grill to cook them and they were really, nothing. Really good.
I would do absolutely nothing the months of like November to May, but June, July, August, September, I will pioneer the activities. I will plan random shit like let's grill pizzas. I will do something every single second. Otherwise, don't count on me for it. But in this time, I will throw out things like grilling pizzas. Maybe that's why we've been packing the shit in.
Like why it's felt like so long.
Because it's summer. Yeah, maybe that's why it's felt like so long is because we're like in the winter.
I've read a couple books.
In the winter, it'd be like maybe one activity a day.
I think I've even read multiple books since I've been home.
Multiple is crazy.
I just finished one today that I started 2 days ago on the beach.
Multiple is wild. Well, yeah, she brings her little Nook everywhere.
Like it's a Kindle. Looking.
She's like, oh, I'm just going to eat breakfast real quick before we had to leave somewhere yesterday. And I look outside and she's reading. And I almost went ballistic. I was like, we have somewhere to be.
Ever since I got a Kindle to travel with, I've just been reading up a storm because I can just open it up and tap through a few pages anywhere I am at any time.
She goes quiet in like a group setting. I'm like, she's reading.
Oh, like at the beach?
She's reading.
On the beach,
or with a family last night on the boat. I turn around, she's like, oh, I haven't heard from her in a minute. She's reading.
I was really engulfed in this kind of like thriller-ish book called Darling Girls. It was good. I gave it a 5 stars on my Goodread about 20 minutes ago when I finished it right before we started recording this episode. My low, though, I think my low overall, and I wouldn't even consider it to be a low because it just is kind of a phase of life, is that I'm just not feeling very energized socially.
And we're opposites in that. Whereas I'm social in the summer.
Right now,
I'm social in the summer and not in Boston. And then it flips.
Like when we're in school in Boston, I feel like historically I've been way more social and had more energy for it. And then I come home for the summer and stuff and I'm like, okay, alone time to retreat and hibernate by myself. And it's kind of the opposite. Yeah, so it's not necessarily a low right now. I just feel like it's kind of the phase of life. But yeah, even though
I've dragged a few people
that are on me. Yeah, yeah. I'm getting tired kind of early these days. Like I haven't had like a late social night recently.
Which
and I'm just not inclined to do that at all.
It's really interesting because like that's what I do in Boston. If we're I'll like go to the pregame or something. I'll be like, I'm going to go home. But you can't do that in the suburbs.
Because
if we go somewhere together, and Kellen wants to leave early and I want to stay, then it's like, all right, are we like rock, paper, scissors? Or what's like, how am I getting home then?
Because
we have to share a car and we have to drive. You can't just go home on your own accord.
Yeah.
Honestly, messed up.
Messed up.
It's messed up.
It's messed up. I know that's one thing you really don't appreciate when you're in a city is that you can walk home, you can train home, you can Uber home. You really don't have to think
about driving. You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
Sharing a car, anything like that.
Because in Boston, like, I would just pull up for 30 minutes. Mm. Big art. I'm gonna go now. You know.
Yeah.
You can't do that here.
Not quite as much. So what's your low of the week then?
Gotten rained on a lot in the last rain. We all have this debate at work. Rain is the worst season. Nope, that's not a thing. Rain is the worst element in my opinion. I don't like getting rained on if I'm not prepared for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like we were walking on the beach in the rain the other day and I had a blast. Today we tried to go surf and then it was dumping buckets and we're like, all right, let's go like get food or something. But then it was too rainy to eat outside, so I'm just standing eating my bagel and that bothers me. If I'm eating and I'm like having a meal, like I need no distractions. sometimes if I have a chore to do and I'm like, okay, I made this food, but I have to clean up before I can eat. Like, I have to do this before I can eat. I have to whatever. And I had to stand up in the middle of the store and eat my bagel, which is not a big issue, but it bothered me.
Well, it's because
we and I had left a couple- that yogurt shop and I didn't get the yogurt. You know, the Demi Lovato.
Oh.
And I left that yogurt shop. That's how I felt. It's always fun because in these high-low goals, like, obviously I'm not going to tell you my actual low.
What would your actual low?
I'll say dumb shit because I'm not going to, like, actually air out my dirty laundry on the internet. Like, I don't have a low. I don't really have a low.
That's a good thing.
Then I don't just, like, don't have a low that's actually a low. I can make some stuff up, but at the end of the day, anything I say is a low. It's just not going to be a low.
My goal for the upcoming week is probably to set a little bit of structure of things that I definitely want to get done in this week and things that I want to do for myself, like as simple as finishing the little bit of unpacking that I have left, planning out my workout routine, planning to film a few things, like just plan what I want to do this week and have a bit more structure with it and follow through with it, just because this past week and a half I've just been kind of go with the flow, getting myself back into it, and I would feel good about having a bit more of a checklist going into this week. Something you want to do this week?
I really don't know. Like, I don't want to do anything different. I don't want to do anything. Oh, yeah, we're going fishing. But, like, I don't want to do anything different than how I'm living my life right now. I don't really have any additional things to add or change at this given moment. Like, wake up, work, go to the beach, be outside, hang out with my friends, go to sleep.
Rinse and repeat, baby.
Rinse and repeat. We are fishing tomorrow, which will be exciting. Our cousin's coming down.
My goal is to catch a fish and take a picture of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Last time I went fishing, I caught a hunk of seaweed.
Oh, you didn't catch one?
No, we didn't catch anything.
Oh,
I've actually gone out a few times and caught nothing. So
tomorrow's gonna be the day.
Tomorrow's the day.
How to stop living passively. I feel like the first thing to address is what it actually means to be living passively, because I think that can manifest in a lot of different ways. It can feel like different things, look like different things. But the best way that I think about it, at least in my own experience, is like those times in your life where you almost feel like kind of like an outsider to yourself, like almost like you're kind of watching your life a little bit more than you are controlling it, or like a lot of time is passing, things are going by, but you feel like you're not actually doing that much. Like somehow you just can't like step into yourself and take control and do things and feel like there's a difference between feeling like you kind of have authority over your life. Like, you know, you wake up in the morning, put your feet on the ground, and that's your life. You're going to go do your thing, whether it's, you know, your work or your hobbies or talking to people, like you are in the driver's seat of your life, versus times where you just always feel like kind of one step removed from yourself, if you know what I'm talking about. Does that make sense, Gavin?
Just disconnected. I feel like that's what we talk about a lot, is being disconnected. Everything that we talk about and do, like, whether it's confidence or habits or whatever, it's just the goal is to be connected to yourself, because it's what a waste of your time if you're not, you're not like in the driver's seat or aware of what's happening.
And that could feel like you aren't happy with the habits that you have. It could feel like you aren't happy with what your actual routine is, like down to your environment, the job that you're working, like you feel like it doesn't totally click with you, and so you just don't feel like an active person in your life because it doesn't feel like something that's energizing you, that you're excited about being, that you're excited about doing, that you're excited about, you know, waking up for and getting revved up to go and do. It could also just be like a lack of a running dialogue and relationship with yourself. Like it doesn't even have to mean that you don't like the things that you're doing. Like I'm sure we've all experienced times where we're like, I should be having fun right now. I should be enjoying myself right now. Like, I should be out of my own head and, you know, just being present in my life right now because all the people that are around me I like and the environment is perfect, but I just can't get out of my head. It could also be that feeling of, like, I just can't click with myself and snap myself into being present. Like, I even feel passive when I'm in a moment that I feel like I should be enjoying. So those are kind of two ways that I see living passively feeling like. Why that could be happening, it could be fear, like a fear of having to actually face a goal, a fear of actually having to step up. It could be a lack of confidence, like not thinking that facing that goal or stepping up is something that you're even capable of, not thinking that feeling better about your life is something that you're deserving of, which is absolutely not true, but that is, of course, a feeling that we can all have. Or it could also be just being overwhelmed or anxious or unsure of which direction to go. Obviously, you're going to be passive in your life if you are just feeling overwhelmed and like you need to choose one route or another, but you don't know which direction to go. So instead, you're not really going in any which way.
Wait, that's interesting because I feel like that's a moment when you would be active in your life because you're aware of it. And maybe you're just active and not making any progress, which is a different story. But whenever I've been like, oh shit, I've been passive or like snapped back into it, I'm like, what the hell happened the last 2 months where I was passive or weak or whatever? Like if I'm living passively, I'm checked out.
Yeah.
Or I'm checked. I wasn't checked out. But then when you actually snap back into being yourself, you're like, oh, actually, like I had no idea what just happened. Yeah. Or I didn't put any effort in or I wasn't aware of what's happening. Yeah. But I feel like if you're making a decision or hyper aware of like, oh, my God, which direction do I need to take my life? Am I doing the right thing? Do I need to make a decision? Do I need to make a change? Like, do I need to start putting effort in? That still is kind of active because you're trying to make a choice. Yeah. Granted, I don't think life is that deep. And I know we've had like multiple phases on the show, but I really don't think it's that deep. And you don't need to plan and you don't need to like sit down and make these massive decisions. Obviously, something like moving or changing a job or changing a career, or like whatever that is, those are bigger decisions and will take more work. But if you're like, how am I going to start my gym routine? I'm going to spend 1 week planning and researching and starting like, just go to the gym. Just start. Just make a decision. So I feel like the step between being passive and being like fully active is the phase that you're just talking about, is like trying to be conscious and like get yourself into making that decision. Yeah.
That's a good point. I guess when I say being overwhelmed and unsure of which direction to go is not necessarily like I have a choice that I'm trying to make, but more of like I'm not really doing anything, but I'm not really sure what I want to be doing. You know, like just not really, just kind of like in that cloudy area in between. But to Catherine's point of, you know, it doesn't have to be all so dramatic or all so deep, I think it's really important to differentiate that not being passive doesn't always mean being more active, right? Because the opposite of passive seems like it's active. And that active means being active in your own life, as in being clicked in, being in the driver's seat of your own life. But it doesn't have to mean more action in your life. It doesn't mean,
most of the time it shouldn't,
right? It doesn't mean I have to do more, I have to fill my life with more, I have to move faster. It really just means I want to be the active controller of my life rather than letting things passively happen to me. So to differentiate between passive and active, to not be passive doesn't mean adding more activity. It means being active in the sense of being more present and intentional and driving your own life. So some things to think about with that is that you don't have to rush. Living passively doesn't mean I'm living too slowly. Living passively just means I am not
aware, I'm not intentional, I'm not like conscious, I'm not,
yeah,
so I'm not making the most of my time.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean that to live actively, you now have to go rush and speed and take life as a sprint. You can go at your own pace. Being active just means going at your own pace and being present in the journey. Like being aware of how you feel along the way, being aware of your choices and options and actually enjoying every day. It doesn't mean rushing forward through it. A lot of the time it actually can mean slowing down, because sometimes living passively can mean that we're filling our life with so many external goals that we're chasing and things that we're doing, and we're filling our time so endlessly that we never really get a chance to sit down with ourselves and slow our brains down. Sometimes living passively is a side effect of packing your life with too much activity. So you don't have to rush. You can live actively at your own pace and be present in the journey.
Starting to learn Mandarin on Rosetta Stone is such a core memory for Caroline and I. I remember when our dad first started traveling for work and was using Rosetta Stone himself, we'd hop on the computer after him and do the lessons too. Fast forward, we ended up moving to Hong Kong and learning Mandarin, and it actually became such a core part of who we are. Languages connect you to people, maybe your family or new friends, and to cultures so strongly. I think language learning is such a lifelong hobby, which is why Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership is so amazing. I'm using Rosetta Stone all over again now to brush up on my Mandarin and get my skills back to fluent. Rosetta Stone has 25 languages you can learn through their intuitive and immersive approach to help you language learn effectively. So don't put off learning that new language. There is no better time than right now to get started. and Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today and get 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
You know what I don't miss at all? The vicious week before your period, where you just want to crawl out of your skin, not able to keep up a routine or maintain healthy habits. Because personally, I just lose all steam. I feel down or just super off, and that's why Happy Mammoth has been so helpful these past few months. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it truly shows. Happy Mammoth has what you need for gut health, hormone balancing, detoxification, anti-aging, beauty, mood, clarity, sleep, and even a really comprehensive quiz that will make sure you know what products are right for you. So check out what Happy Mammoth has for you and see what you might want to try. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code GOALS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code GOALS for 15% off today.
Another really important thing is you can actively choose the people, places, and things in your life where you can. I think one symptom of living passively is feeling like you don't really have a choice. Like, oh, well, these people are just the people that are around me. Like, well, that's it. I don't really like have any other option. Like, these are just kind of the people. Like, even if people treat you poorly, even if people drain your energy in anything, something about living passively makes you think that, you know, you don't even really have a choice to seek out anything different.
Similarly, if you are in a group of people that you like and are great people, which for the most part, I'm sure, even if you have like negative relationships mm-hmm. or negative friendships, like for the most part, you have good friends and you have great friends. And maybe all you need to do is strengthen those relationships. I've been talking a lot with my friends about having individual relationships because it's become a pretty big friend group. And so 90 or like 80% of the time, no, actually I take that back. We're pretty good about having like individual hangouts, but a lot of the time it's like open invite, big group situation. That said, having individual relationships and like distinct quality friendships with individual people, I think is really important and like a cool thing to do. So if you're feeling passive within a friend group, it may not be, oh my God, these friends are the worst, they're a bad fit for me, like let me blow this all up and let me leave and go find other friends. Maybe just strengthen your relationships with your friends and like be an active friend. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the problem. But I do think that that's an important thing and like a major, major aspect of feeling passive is if you don't have an individual strong relationship. Because maybe it's just your fault. Like you're not putting the effort in. Like me in Boston when I'll go and leave 30 minutes in.
Yeah.
That doesn't give me time to like actually hang out with individual people or like strengthen a relationship and keep it alive. Like for the most part, no. So if you're feeling that way and having a problem with feeling that way, because you could feel that way and not have a problem with it, you don't have to be abundantly overly active in every single part of your life at any given moment. However, if you're feeling passive about it, maybe just like work on individual friendships and say, hey, do you want to hang out tomorrow? Or do you want to do this? Or just a few people. Or even if it's not a friend group situation, ask someone to hang out. If we're talking about relationships and friendships, like make plans with someone.
Actively choose the people that you want to spend time with or explore. You know, you can also actively choose a lot of the places in your life. And that goes beyond just the place.
Third places.
That goes just beyond the place where you live and the home that you stay in. There's been a big thing I'm seeing on social media about how people are really seeking third places again that the pandemic took away when there weren't really extra places to go to. Like a gym, like a running club or a book club, like a cafe that you're a regular at or a bar that you're a regular at. Like people are really looking for these third places of community, for any sort of hobby or anything like that. And it can be a really active choice in your life to seek out a third place, to seek out a community outside of just your home and just your work. You also do have an active choice in your work. And I know that it's a very nuanced thing because we all have different opportunities and we all have different experiences. And also the job market is really, really difficult right now. And I know that a lot of people are struggling And so with empathy to that, I will say that a lot of the time we have more of an active choice in our career and our jobs than we might think we do. Like, we oftentimes think we have to stay in a place just because they've given us stability and they've given us a job for a few years. But if it's an environment that's draining you and you think that you can move on to bigger and better things, like, you have the choice to do that. You don't have to be, you don't have to stay somewhere because you think you owe something back to that place if it doesn't feel like the right place and feel like somewhere you've outgrown.
Massive statement. One, I think you should, your careers or people you're in, I think you should owe them something and, like, put effort in. But you shouldn't, if you're staying in a place just because you are scared to move on or, like, oh, this is what I do, massive red flag in a person. Like,
yeah,
I can assure you none of my friends or people that I heavily associate myself with would do that. Similarly, on the other end, like, none of my friends would leave things without giving it a good old try.
Absolutely. You, I mean, obviously you give things
a try and put effort in and try and make it work. If it doesn't work, don't stay there.
Yeah.
Because why are you staying there? It's a waste of your time. That means you don't respect your time or yourself or whatever. And it means you have no balls.
I think that being active in your career can look like, you know, being loyal to a company and being loyal to a place that you work at, but always looking at your personal career as well. Like, always making it
I'm strengthening my career.
Always one puzzle piece of your own personal career and understanding that you have a whole life's journey of your career and you get to bring your skills to a new place and you get to work with people and strengthen those skills and really make an impact. But at some point you might outgrow that or it might not be serving you as well. And for the sake of your own personal career, like, you can make the active decision to move on to something different, to try something new, and not, you know, like, you're not ever stuck to a place. So I think that a lot of people go through working jobs that they absolutely hate and they continue in those for years, when I guarantee there are other opportunities out there, but it takes you being active and stepping into that and actually searching. Like, you can be in one job and also searching for another if you're thinking that that's not the right thing for you. Or if you're, you know, about to graduate college or about to move on to a next phase where you want a job, like, actively open a ton of doors and try to create a lot of opportunities for yourself that you might actually get to a point where you have the choice and you don't feel like you are, you know, pushed one way or another or that you're just going down one path. But if you really look into things beforehand, start having conversations, start looking into opportunities in your city or wherever you want to live or in the industry you want to work in, you can really feel like you're making an active choice about the company you want to work for or working for yourself or the environment that you want to work in or the job that you want to do. Obviously, to some extent, because we can't always build our exact roles and exact companies, but your career and the place that you work is something that you spend so much time in and is something that you should take so much pride in that you definitely want to be the active player of that. So when it comes to the people in your life and the things that you do with your life, you absolutely should be an active player in that. That doesn't have to mean more, as in the biggest career ever, the most friends ever, but it's active in that sense that you're being present and intentional about it. A big step in going from being passive to living more actively is focusing your energy inwards in the sense of being aware of your own feelings and opinions on things and ultimately choosing to value your own feelings and opinions more than other people around you. And when I say anything like, you know, you versus other people, it's not really you versus other people, and it definitely does not mean disregard or disrespect other people, but, you know, part of being active in your own life is understanding that, in a way, other people and other things are characters in your life. They all have their own lives. Like, every single person lives their own life that they should be in the driver's seat of, and we need to obviously be aware of that and respect that and understand that, but you're the only person who knows your own feelings, who knows your own needs, who knows your own dreams and goals and all of that, and nobody else is responsible for being aware of those things, for taking those things into account as much as you are. A big switch from living passively to living more actively is to think about what those feelings are at any time that you're experiencing, or to think about, you know, what your unique wants and needs are in your life and being the active person to choose to do things that align with that. Because at the end of the day, no one else can necessarily read your mind and do that for you. So you need to step into the driver's seat of your own life to make sure that the situations that you're in, the habits that you're building, the things that you're doing with your life and your day and the activities that you're doing with other people are all things, or I guess mostly things, that, you know, meet your needs and fill your cup, because only you know how that can be done. So choosing to value and be aware of your own feelings and opinions and needs and focusing that energy inwards is a really big switch between passive and active living.
This concept and a lot of what we've talked about today already is stuff that we talked about with Gemma from Psychology of Your 20s. If you've listened to her episode that we were on, or if you even came from that, which that's awesome. This might be a bit of a reminder, but we want to talk about some of the points that we really liked when we were on her episode about this topic of switching from being passive to being active in your life. And obviously, Psychology of Your 20s, we're talking about being in your 20s. So your 20s are a time to like experiment and figure out who you are in your life and figure out what you like and don't like and try things out so that, listen, now's the time when you have the energy to do so and you have literally no
formal destination
or like, or like really big, big, massive responsibilities for the most part. The older you are, the more responsibilities you have. So you should always start something now. Like, you're always the youngest you're ever going to be. Whoa, crazy concept. But your 20s are a time to experiment. No one actually knows what they're doing. No one should know what they're doing. If you feel like you know what you're doing, then
there's probably,
honestly,
more for you
you're
to
probably worse off than your friends who, that's a great point. If you sit here or you see someone and you think they have everything all together and they come across and they act like it, they have everything all together, and they'll tell you too, I'm sure. The annoying ones will tell you that they have everything all together.
That's a pretty close-minded way to be, because in your 20s, you do not know everything.
You're close-minded. You're not going to live an exciting life. You're not going to live a cool life. You're not really going to strive for anything, I'm sure, beyond what you think is like end-all, be-all, and the only thing you're doing and why you have your life together.
If you live your life like there is nothing more to learn or no more growth to be had.
But so, if you look at someone who you're like, oh my God, they have nothing figured out, they're fly by the seat of their pants. Honestly, they have it more figured out than you do.
I wouldn't say that.
Then the people who sit, well, who stand there and they're like the prim and proper, really annoying ones, you know,
okay,
the type of person
I'm
talking about.
That someone who has nothing going on.
I'm saying they're better off than the people who act like they have everything figured out and walk through life thinking that they have everything figured out, because at the end of the day, they're probably living life on like 10% of experiences and like open-mindedness. Whereas someone who is more fly by the seat of their pants doesn't seem like they have their life figured out. At that moment, they figured out that they want to like learn a bunch of things and see a bunch of things and do a bunch of different things and just see where it takes them.
Yeah, I think they're somewhere in between a little bit.
Well, yeah, obviously, but I'm saying like you shouldn't have it figured out. And if you're like, oh, but this person does, that person I'm sure is really annoying.
Oh yeah, because you never do. People, I mean, the most impressive people, the most successful and accomplished people in the world are ones who 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, say that they're still learning, who still are going to credit other people and quote other people and bring other people up because they acknowledge that they don't know everything and they can't do everything on their own. When you're trying to figure that out, when you're trying to experiment and figure out, you know, what is the direction that I want to go in my life, at least for right now, a really big thing that helps me is to try to focus on the feeling that you're creating in life instead of the tangible thing. And then opportunities will open up because, you know, realistically, in our 20s, a little before, a little after, whenever, like, we can't always create with a snap of our fingers the exact thing that we're dreaming of in the world. But if we can figure out, like, oh, this is something that I want, well, actually, what is the feeling that I'm getting from that? Because that's the actual thing that I want. If you're like, I really want to be an entrepreneur and I want to work for myself and I want to have a business from by myself, you know, that's a huge thing. That's something that obviously you can start working towards, but you're not going to be able to snap your fingers and have that overnight. So something that could be really helpful is thinking about, well, what is the feeling that I'm looking for in getting that? And for this example, that's probably that you love the feeling of freedom. So you can start a bit smaller and find all different ways to get that out of your life. You know, on a smaller level, that might be traveling, doing a little bit of solo traveling and getting that freedom of I'm having an experience with myself right now where I am doing things and learning things all by myself with nobody else. And I have the freedom to do this and I'm funding myself to do this and I'm putting both of my feet on the ground and I'm opening my own eyes and I'm doing that. That's going to give you a similar sense of freedom. On a daily level, that's just doing activities by yourself. So you take it from a bigger scale to a smaller scale and then to a daily level, which could be doing activities by yourself. You know, having a workout routine that you do by yourself, having something that you do every day for yourself, a hobby, just spending time with yourself, taking yourself to the beach on a walk, on a hike, whatever it is. So if you can't jump to that biggest option yet, figure out what the feeling is that you're seeking and start smaller and let it snowball, because that's going to get you to feel really present in what you're building, to really enjoy that feeling, become comfortable with it. And then it's just going to snowball from there and become so much more reachable and attainable for you to get to those bigger things that you're initially dreaming of. On a similar sense of starting smaller, there's something to say about faking it till you making it and starting with your self-narrative before it even comes to the actions. A really big difference from living passively to living actively is literally the narrative of I want to do this, I want to be this, versus I do this, I am this. It's truly just a difference in the way that you say things that takes you from the passive, oh, I should do that, I want to do that, maybe someday I will do that, to I am this. I am actively this. Even if it has to be like a little fake it till you make it thing, even if you don't truly believe it right now, just like, I am confident. I am healthy. I am a good friend. I am hardworking, rather than, oh, I should be healthier. I should do more. I should work harder. I should grind more. You know, think about how much more powerful it is instead of saying I should stop procrastinating to saying I am hardworking. Like, the difference in energy between saying those two things is I should stop procrastinating. That's so passive, because you are acknowledging that you have this problem of procrastinating, but you're just saying like, oh, I should stop procrastinating. No one who has ever said I should stop procrastinating has stopped procrastinating, right? You just continue to do it as a cycle because you're kind of just sitting back and you're watching yourself and you're saying, that's what I'm doing. I should stop doing that. One day I'll do that. Versus if you step up and you say, I am hardworking, like I work hard, then you just immediately obliterate that past belief of I'm someone that procrastinates. And you say, no, I work hard. And then you step into that and then you do it. So that really simple change of narrative completely shifts your energy from passive into active. And I think that's a really powerful thing that you can use in so many aspects of your life when you catch yourself saying, I should do this, I should do that, I should be this, to just say I am. You know, turn it into some sort of I am statement, and it'll completely change your energy.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The other thing that we talk about all the time is your baseline routine. And when we talk about habits, when we talk about adding things into your life or making changes or setting new goals, those are all like fun extras or like new endeavors that you can make when you're solid with your own routine. That's not to say, oh my God, I'm getting my life together, here's my 17,000 step daily routine. Not gonna work. It's gonna be a waste of your time because it's not gonna work. And also it's gonna be a waste of your time because it's not gonna help you in any way, because you're not actually gonna get the benefits from that. You're just gonna be stressed out and like wasting your time doing things that don't actually help you. With being passive and being active, I think there's two parts of this. When you have a solid routine, like that is your level of active. That is you getting yourself active in your life because you have things to do. You're always going to have something that you can be active in, whether that's cooking and like meal prepping or doing the work you really like, or like having a hobby like gardening or taking care of like your landscaping or walking your dog or doing any of these things. Like those are habits and daily routine points that are so fundamentally in your daily life that they're going to keep you active. If you have a dog, don't want to go for a walk, or like you're just like, what, you're gonna be like, oh shit, I have to take him for a walk, like Stanley's got to go outside, all of a sudden you're out, the birds are chirping, you're like, oh my God, I'm active again. Boom, you're active. That's gonna get you in. So having a baseline routine is gonna put you in that active zone way more frequently than if you didn't have a solid like baseline foundational routine,
or if you skipped over that and just tried to think about what more could I add, what extra things could I do before or without thinking about those basic things.
And the other part of it is that when you are in like longer term, so that feeling active with your solid baseline routine, that's a more daily routine, like micro daily type perspective on it. The macro longer term perspective on it is, say you've gone a month or 2 months or like a phase of life where you're, oh my God, I feel passive in my life. What's going to get you active? And you're saying, I feel passive in my life regardless of if I've been doing these things every single day. I've kept up with my workout routines. I've kept up with like meal prepping and maintaining my house and taking care of my dog. And I've kept up with my work and like having my daily schedule. But I still feel passive and I've still been passive. What's going to help you then is adding the extras, adding a new thing. I'm going to try this new thing. I'm going to start this new hobby. Yeah, something that gets you back in. Because that's just not just going to get you back in for the one thing that you start. Sourdough starter, taking up some new hobby, going to a different workout class, or like switching up your workout routine. That's going to get you active not only within that task, but also then you're going to leave that task and be active in the rest of your life, the rest of the things you do throughout the day. So I think short term, having those foundational routines are going to help you be active on a daily basis. Longer term, once you have those foundational routines and have that set in place as your foundation, then you're able to add those other extras and like new hobbies, new things to try to get you back in the active zone.
And finally, set out to do things without the pressure of them having to be your end game. The pressure of starting something can be so overwhelming when you think that it has to be forever. Like,
so true.
I'm starting this job. This is going to be my career forever. This is forever. My job. This is the place. This is the lane that I'm in forever. Or I'm moving to this new city. This is it. I have to associate with this place. I have to be here. This is it. Rather than, I'm just going to explore this place and see if I vibe with it and get to know it. And I know that I can always leave and I can always go somewhere different if I want to. Because
At any given moment.
At any given moment, because making one choice at, you know, age 22 doesn't mean that you're stuck there until for the rest of your life, right? No matter what that is, no matter if that's a place or a job or a relationship or a hobby that you're starting, you don't have to start a hobby thinking about the end game of, I'm going to be so good at this and I'm going to be the best ever and I'm going to become an expert at this. It can be, I'm just going to try this and maybe this will entertain me and serve me some sort of purpose right now. The pressure of starting something is so overwhelming and takes the presence and the enjoyment out of it when you think that that new thing and that change has to be forever. So instead, tell yourself, you know, I don't have to be perfect at this. It doesn't have to be forever, but I'm going to commit to trying right now and watch what happens. That's really important when it comes to being passive versus active, because that means I'm actively making the decision to do this right now and I'm going to give it my all and I'm going to commit and I'm going to have fun with it. But I'm also going to be present and I'm going to notice, you know, the energy that comes with this and how it makes me feel and what I'm actually thinking. And I'm going to be honest with myself and I'm going to know that I'm still active and I can choose to change this if I want to. And I know that this doesn't have to be forever because I am continuing to be active in my life for the rest of it. And I'm not going to start this thing and then be passive and think that, you know, this career, this relationship has to be forever just because I've made this choice right now. You can always change your mind. You can always start something new. You can always pause something and come back to it later. Like, those things are all possible. And it is very easy to forget that when we're feeling passive in our lives and just think like, well, this is my situation. This is my life. This is what it is. You can always change something. You can always change your mind. So take the pressure off by not starting something new feeling like it has to be forever. Just enjoy your life a little more. And like my mom has been annoyed with in Catherine and I saying, recently,
it's not that deep.
It's
not that deep. She'll try and make an argument about something. It's not that, it's really not that deep.
She's like, oh my God. She's like, so a cop out of an argument. Like, it's so not that funny. Deep.
Because it really isn't. I'm like, I don't even try and use it. Or she'll say something or like try and make a story into like massive drama. And we're like, it's like, calm down. It's not that deep. It's not that deep. Or my dad was asking about like a deal I just got for something. And he was like, well, why didn't you tell me about this last week? And I was like, well, it's really not that deep. Like, it's true. It's not a big deal. And he's like, oh my God.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode and all other episodes of Girls with Goals. Make sure you're following where you listen, whether that's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, so that you can get notifications when we drop new episodes, see what you're interested in, what you want to listen to. If you want to leave a 5-star rating, we always very much appreciate that. And it really does help us in rankings, in getting the show to new ears and new listeners. And of course, follow us on Instagram so that we can interact and chat a little more. We always respond to comments and DMs and really want to talk to you guys. So thank you for listening to this episode. I hope that it was helpful for you guys. And until next week, we'll miss ya.
Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.